This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. So we continue to read in the book قطب العارفين of عبد الرحمن بن قاسم اللجائي رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. And we are on the second set of chapters looking at spiritual refinement and spiritual discipline. And this is the way of ma'rifa, of a dhawqi shuhudi ma'rifa, of a more immediate and profound knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond just the intellectual acknowledgement of the existence of God, but also to live the dictates knowing that Allah exists. So in our deeds, in our words, to be, as the Quran says, nahdhar al-akhirah, to be careful that the akhirah is coming, the next life is coming, and this is just a mere proving grounds for us. And so to take all of those things into consideration when we think about that we will face a reckoning. And at the same time, to have hope, to have put all our aspirations and dreams into pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we may also find something of the Jannat al-Ma'arif, which is the Jannah of this life, the paradise of this life, which is to feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to feel that you are from the Muqarrabeen, or to seek from, to be from amongst the Muqarrabeen, those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws close. And this is also connected to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not like the love in the conventional sense when we think about personal inclination. Rather, it's a love predicated on a recognition of the worthiness of the beloved to be loved, because of all those things that are lovable or worthy to be loved about the beloved. So we recognize in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his attributes of Jalal and Jamal, his attributes of magnificence and his attributes of beauty, and we owe everything that we are to him, and he has given everything that we have requested and needed for this life. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ إِنْ تُعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And he has given you everything that you have requested. And if you are to even try to enumerate the one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to even enumerate the one blessing. And similarly with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sole mission in life was to show us merely how to be the best versions of ourselves, how to be human beings, how to interact with others, how to be benevolent, how to be kind, how to be generous. And in fact, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ أَوْ صَالَحِ الْأَخْلَاقِ فِي رُوَايَةٍ. And I have not been sent except to perfect the character traits, the beautiful character traits. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you are upon a great character. So we want to emulate that. We want to avail ourselves of that. And we want to follow the path of those before us, that Allah has bestowed upon them, the path of ma'rifah and the path of mahabbah, the path of love and the path of divine knowledge. But such a path does require some sacrifice, does require some struggle, and does require us to prioritize Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam above all else. So in the next section, we had looked at the section before that looked at the seeing the dunya, the world, as a proving ground, and he mentioned some of the adab. And then in the last section, the last paragraph as it were, he talked a little bit about the adab of with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the adab with al-khalq and with creation, and also the adab or the etiquettes with the nafs, with oneself. And so he begins with the adab with oneself. And we live in an age now where it's almost become sort of a cottage industry, this idea of self-help and love thyself and prioritize yourself. And we have people now who are professional life coaches and professional gurus, and they help people at least ostensibly to try to reach that particular goal. So let's see what one of the classical interpretations of this great deen of ours has to say about that. So he says, رضي الله عنه, فصل ما يتفرع من الأدب مع النفس. That which is I don't remember how I translated it in the handout that you had. يتفرع, that which branches off from the adab or the etiquette with the nafs, with the soul. ويتفرع من الأدب مع النفس قصر الأمل بخوف نزول الموت بغتة ورؤية اقتراب الأجل والتفكر في سرعة فقد من مضى وكيف كان الفناء مضطردا في محق الأمم. So he begins with something that usually I don't think the self-help coaches and the gurus are going to talk too much about. But he says, يتفرع من الأدب, and can be understood or branched off, or the fruits of this comportment or etiquette with Allah, with the nafs. Number one, قصر الأمل, and we saw this before. الأمل is having false hopes, thinking that you're going to live forever, or you're going to live at least to a point in time where then you can start to get things straight and you still have time. So he says, أول شيء, the first thing, قصر الأمل بخوف نزول الموت بغتة. So have not false long hopes, but realize that death can befall you anytime, instantly. You know, and perhaps the events of the past few months with the COVID-19 pandemic has made this come more real, I think, to many. And you know, every once in a while, every week, you read about someone who didn't think they would get COVID, and they were young and they didn't think that anything was going to happen to them, and then they pass away within a few days or even a few weeks of that marad, and they never thought that they would be one of those people. And the thing is, we're all going to be one of those people. We're all going to pass away. That's a haqiqah. And like I said, there's a way that you can live with the reality of death that incapacitates you and makes you not want to do anything and makes you depressed, and that we don't want to do. And then there's the other way that will enliven you, that will treat every moment as precious and as important and as an opportunity and as your main capital that Allah has given you to work with. And so this will cause you, as they say, للتشمير, roll up your sleeves and to get busy with good. Imam al-Shafi'i said, نفسك إن لم تشغلها بالخير شغلتك بالشر. Your soul, if you don't busy it with good, then it will busy you with evil. So we want to busy our time, not with busy stuff, but things that, inshallah, that will are either good in of themselves or lead to the good. So have قصر الأمل, don't think you're going to live forever. ورؤية اقتراب الأجل, and know that the أجل, لكل أجل كتاب, everyone has an expiry date. والتفكر في سرعة فقد من مضى, and just think about the people that have passed, right? Many of us know people have passed just in the past few months, perhaps even in the past few weeks, perhaps in the past few days. And most of the time when you look at somebody's obituary, it takes like a paragraph, two, maybe three. Even if you look to the hagiographies of the great ulama that have passed, if you look in the tabaqat literature, maybe if they are someone who's very noteworthy, they might take a few pages. But most of the time, they could be summarized in a paragraph or two. And likely for the vast majority of us, our life, when we die, will be summarized in a paragraph. And so think about all of the people who have passed, and then as time passes and as the years pass, then most of the time people don't really talk about them anymore, think about them or their exploits. وَكَيْفَ كَانَ الْفَنَاءُ مُضْطَرِدًا فِي مَحْقِ الْأُمَمِ, right? And all of the umam, all of the communities before us, think about how annihilation was something that was inevitable for all of them in the destruction of these umam. And so if it can come to whole nations like Ad and Thamud and Qawm Nuh, then certainly it can come to the individual, such as myself and you. وَيَتَفَرَّعُ مِنَ الْأَدَبِ مَعَ نَفْسِ أَيْضًا حَبْسُهَا فِي سِجْنِ الْقَنَاعَةِ وَغَلْقُ الْبَابِ عَلَيْهَا بِقُفْلِ الْعِفَّةِ وَقَطْعُ تَهْوِسَاتِ الطَّمَعِ وَالْحِرْصِ وَالرِّضَى بِالْقِسْمَةِ السَّابِقَةِ فِي الْأَزْلِ بِوُجُودِ السُّكُونِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالطُّمَأْنِينَةِ عِنْدَ فَقْدِ الرِّزْقِ وَظُهُورِ الْمَخَاوِفِ. He said also, that branches out from, or what is considered to be important from the adab with the nafs, is حَبْسُهَا فِي سِجْنِ الْقَنَاعَةِ. So here it literally means to imprison it in the prison of conviction. qana'a, or I would say contentment with your circumstances. وَغَلْقُ الْبَابِ عَلَيْهَا بِقُفْلِ الْعِفَّةِ, right? And to close the door upon this particular prison with the lock of عِفَّة, which we can loosely translate as chastity. Though it sounds like a little bit of a antiquated word. People don't usually say chastity except if they're, you know, talking about some sort of 18th century Puritan set up in Salem, Massachusetts. But chastity or iffa, someone who is afif, means also that they are masoon, right? They maintain themselves and they don't seek outside of that which is not going to bring good to them. So this is insan afif or iffa. So how do we go about doing that? He kind of alludes to it in the next phrase. وَقَطَعُ تَهْوِيسَةَ الطَّمَعُ وَالْحِرْصِ. So the tahwisa is kind of the machinations and the plotting of the soul, the ego, that leads you to tama, to covet things, and hirs, and to want to hold on to things that are fani, hold on to things that are fleeting, and they are not meant to be held on to begin with. So if you are afif, right, and you close the door of tama, you close the door of covetousness and hirs, right, and lack of scruples in maintaining or obtaining the things that you need to live your dunya, then you can be, inshallah, in not just what he calls a sijin, but I think it's also a type, as he mentioned earlier, there's an iltidad. There is a pleasure in taking only that which you need and leaving out everything else. So it actually becomes not just, I don't think, a prison, I think it becomes a jannah. It becomes a type of paradise, to be safe, to seek salama. وَالْرِضَى بِالْقِسْمَةِ السَّابِقَةِ فِي الْأَزَلِ بِوُجُودِ السُّكُونِ. And also to be content with that which Allah has already decreed for you even before you were created, in terms of your material acquisitions and your circumstances. So know that anything that you are supposed to get, you know, that particular investment that you made that didn't turn out the way that was supposed to, but it turned out better for other people, that was never meant for you to begin with. It wasn't yours to begin with. And that thing that came to you and didn't come to others, it wasn't theirs to begin with. So فِيمَا الْحَسَدْ إِذَنْ يَعْنِي. So why should we be envious and jealous of one another when we are not the ones who are determining who's getting what and who's not getting what? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines. So we should have rida, contentment with this qismah, right, with this decreed allotment that everyone will receive, and no one can take it away from you, and no one can increase it, and no one can decrease it. It's determined by God. Fil azal, right, here's that word al azal, in that time before time. Bi wujud al sukoon. So how should we have, what does this rida, this contentment look like? As sukoon, right, stillness, tranquility, serenity. Was sidqi, and sincerity. Wa tuma'nina, right, spiritual, easiness. Even عن دفقد الرزق وظهور المخاوف, even when we lose something of our sustenance, or we perceive we lose something of our sustenance. وظهور المخاوف, and even when things that could be upsetting and unsettling manifest themselves. So certainly for many of us, we're living in uncertain times, concerning our health, concerning our finances, concerning even when we may able to be see loved ones who maybe live in another part of the world and we can't travel. So there are makhawif, right? But all of this was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way that we can reach this place of qana'ah, of contentment, or the signs of it, are sukoon, right? Serenity and sidq, and trust in the decree and in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best and knows better than what we know. ومن شروط القناعة أيضا قلة الغذاء مع وجوده مع صرف الهمة عن الإكثار من الاستمتاع بالمطعم والملبس والوقاع إلا بعد مس الحاجة إليه. So the scholars of the past, they realized that there was a proportionate relationship between how much we partake in bodily pleasures and or inverse inversely proportional relationship between how much we partake in bodily pleasures and how much we can avail ourselves of spiritual openings and spiritual understandings, right, in terms of ma'rifah. So he said, from amongst the conditions, from the shurut of qana'a, to be content with one's circumstances, is qillat al-ghada' ma wujudihi, right? So in other words, to be economic in even the food that you eat. So you may have the ability to eat plenty and eat a lot, but even with that, to still be economic, to be judicious in what you eat, not just for physical health, but also your spiritual health is predicated on how you acquire the funds that you use to buy your food. So the halal income is one aspect of it, and also what you actually eat and how much you eat and the manner that you eat. All these things also have a direct relationship. And I usually like to think of it as kind of the first gate to spiritual refinement. In other words, to really contend with one's relationship with food and drink is important for to have a more of a spiritually kind of disciplined outlook. And I think that's the reason why that which is prescribed for everybody and has been prescribed for communities and nations before us, as the Quran states, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, namely fasting, is because it is that kind of first gate. And when they talk about fasting and they talk about صِيَامُ الْعَوَامُ, or general fasting for everybody, it's fasting from food and drink. But then there's صِيَامُ الْخُصُوصِ, right, which is to fast from sins and to fast from all things that are contrary to the Sharia. And then خصوص الخصوص, or the most elite type of fasting, and تصوم عن كل ما سوى الله عز وجل, to fast from everything except Allah. The relationship with food, where he says, وَمِنْ شُرُوطِ الْقَنَاعَةِ أَيْضًا قِلَّةُ الْغَذَاءِ مَعْ وَجُودِهِ مَعْ صَرْفِ الْهِمَّةِ عَنَ الْإِكْثَارِ مِنَ الْإِسْتِمْتَاعِ بِالْمَطْعَمِ وَالْمَلْبَسِ وَالْبِقَاءِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ مَسَّ الْحَاجَةَ إِلَيْهِ. So the ancients and the pre-moderns, and as been prescribed in the Quran, fasting is seen as kind of an essential aspect towards spiritual refinement. And the Quran tells us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may find taqwa. And taqwa, in a sense, is to help you in your ability to avoid the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's an inversely proportionate relationship between how much one actually partakes in excess, especially of things of the dunya, especially food and drink. Here he also mentions malbas, right? Acquisitions, things that we wear, things that we have, our possessions, the very unhealthy, consumerist, egoist, narcissist societies that we find ourselves in. You know, there's mubaha. People are yatabahuna, yani bil بالأشياء المقتنيات. There is a sort of, you know, taking pride in the things that you own and what type of car you drive or what neighborhood you live in and all these sorts of things. And all of these, while the faqih, the jurisprudent or the jurist of Islamic law may say, well, if you have the money, it's permissible to buy it, it's okay. But he or she is not too concerned with that particular effect of that possession on your heart or that particular way of eating on your heart. He's just concerned that it's not outwardly mukhalif, outwardly contrary to the principles of the Sharia. But the spiritual doctors, Ahl al-Tazkiyah, they would say it may be halal, but consider its effect on your heart. Consider its effect on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Ali, he said about the dunya, halaluha hisab wa haramuha iqab. The dunya, the halal of it is hisab, there will be a reckoning. So it's something Allah gave you. How did you use it? In what manner? Was it just for mere indulgence and mubaha and to show off and ostentation? Or did you use it for feeding the poor and taking care of orphans and taking care of people's needs and education and so forth, things that add value and bring value to yourself, to your community, to your society. So that first gate, as we said, is قِلَّةِ الْغَذَاءِ, مع وجوده. So قلة الغذاء means to have some sort of purposeful, you know, and in our day and age, I would say you'd have a purposeful or a kind of methodology, and not just eat whatever's available, but you kind of you're more deliberate about when you eat and how you eat and how much you eat. And now many people are concerned with this for the obvious health benefits, physical health, but as we said, there are also spiritual health benefits to this as well. So we want to eat طيب and we want to eat halal. So we want to get from the best sources, and we want to eat those things that are nutrient rich, that are not just empty calories, that are not just merely there and have been designed and produced in some sort of lab. So most of the processed and highly processed foods, that's where it begins. It's produced in a lab, and it's produced not with your health in mind, but it's produced with profits in mind. So the company, whatever, Kellogg or Procter & Gamble, whoever, they want to maximize their profits. So if they can add some ingredient in cereal, breakfast cereal, or donuts, or whatever it may be, that will make you come back for more, and not looking at necessarily at the health benefits, then they will do so. And that's not our priority. Our priority is to take this amana, so our bodies are a trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we also want to use it as a means to also know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at least to be grateful, and not to use it as a means by which we fall into sin and into error. ومن شروط القناعة أيضا إصانة الفقر بكتمان الشدة وقطع الشكاية مع التهاون بالدنيا في أكثر أوقات العمر واتخاذ الفقر حرفة مع وجود السرور به وفقد النفور عنه كما قيل إذا رأيت الفقر مقبلا فقل مرحبا بشعار الصالحين وإذا رأيت الغنى مقبلا فقل ذنب عجلت عقوبته. So here now he's outlining very succinctly and briefly how do we deal with the up and downs of our livelihood. And anyone who's kind of lived in the modern world has gone through periods where they are working and they have a livelihood, and perhaps they're getting more than they need and they're able to save. And then perhaps other periods in their life they'll find they have nothing, and maybe they don't even have a job, and perhaps they're reliant on zakat, and a more difficult period. So what should be our attitude about that in terms of the ma'rifah, in terms of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he also says, min shurut al-qana'a, right, to be contented with your circumstances amongst its conditions, isanatu al-faqri bikitman al-shidda. Yani, it's a very beautiful ibarah in Arabic. Isanatu al-faqr bikitman al-shidda. وَقَطْعُ الشِّكَايَةِ مَعَ التَّهَاوُنِ بِالدُّنْيَا فِي أَكْثَرِ أَوْقَاتِ الْعُمْرِ. So إِصَانَةُ الْفَقْرِ means to kind of maintain your particular status if you're in a state of faqr, if you're in a state of need or even of financial poverty. بِكِتْمَانْ الشِّدَّةِ, right? By concealing the severity of it. كِتْمَانْ الشِّدَّةِ. وَقَطْعُ الشِّكَايَةِ, and also to cut off complaining about it, مع التهاون بالدنيا في أكثر أوقات العمر, and also this with accompanied by the تهاون بالدنيا, to not give much concern and not think much of the dunya in most of the times of your life. So we often feel that misery loves company, and we just need to vent, and we need to kind of tell people what's going on, and I need to complain, and so forth. Our teachers say, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَابُدْ, if you really want to complain, then why complain to someone who has no power whatsoever to meet their own needs, let alone yours? They don't have any power over bringing any sort of improvement to their condition at all without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why bring the complaint to them? Bring the complaint to Allah. And then when you think about it and you bring the complaint to Allah, what are you complaining to Allah about? Well, He's the one who put you in that situation. And so, if كَانَ وَلَبُدْ, if you must, then you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the proper adab, etiquette in dealing with your situation. So yes, you can ask Him to lift you out of your situation, and that's fine. And you can also ask Him at the same time to give you the the qana'a, right, and give you the contentment and the rida with his decree, so that you don't even complain about your situation to begin with, and that you can have this sort of contentment with it, and patience and forbearance at the very least, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as easily for him, he put you in it, just as easily for him, he could bring you out of it. And then you have to think, well, then there's something that I can try to find a benefit in this situation. You know, maybe this is أذاقني الله بعد الفقر أو بعد الشدة حتى أعود إلي. Maybe he let me taste of something of difficulty and of austerity and severity, so that I may return back to him. And for others, it may be a raising in degrees. So commensurate with one's iman, commensurate with one's level of commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're also your bilya, your ibtila, your tests and tribulations also might be commensurate with that. فَالْأَنْبِيَاءَ أَشَدُّ ابْتِلَاءً. So the prophets themselves, they had the most difficult of trials and of tribulations with people around them, sometimes with their own families. Nuh alayhi salam, his own son, he had a tribulation with him. Lut alayhi salam, with his wife. So these trials and tribulations should be expected. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Right? This is how we've been created. We've been created in this particular place. So we should expect الابتلاءات والكبد والناكبات. This is what it has been designed to do. So it's designed in a sense to disappoint us, so that we don't put too much stock in it. And if you think about it, anything that you take pleasure in the dunya, anything at all, it never lasts forever. It never lasts for an extended period of time. Whether it's food, whether it's drink, whether it's intimate relations, no matter what, there's kind of a finite period of time where it's fun and interesting, and then right after, it's not that anymore, and you want to do something else. Whereas with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ladha of al-akhirah, and inshallah the bliss of the next life, there is no such thing. So one of the things that's unique to the next life is the more you have of something, then the more you'll be satisfied, and you won't feel like it's just fleeting and it's gone. And we can't even imagine that, because we don't have anything like that really in the dunya. The only thing that comes close is this taraqqi fil maqamat, is to be raised in rank and degrees in this dunya based upon your commitment to God and your patience and your forbearance and your ability to deal with al-nakibat wal-ibtila'at and the difficult things that come in your life. On the other side of that, you'll be quite a different person, and you'll be a better person for it. So he said, اتخاذ الفقر حرفة مع وجود السرور به. So even take faqr, you know, as you know, here he's talking about physical, financial poverty, but it's kind of a means to spiritual poverty. So take it as a way of being, and find even happiness in it. وَفَقْدِ النُّفُورِ عَنْهُ كَمَا قِيلَ. And also, when it comes upon you, don't say, oh God, here comes, I'm about to lose my job and this thing, I'm going to be in a state of poverty. No, say, here is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me through this test. Is more of the attitude we should have. That's why he said, some people said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْفَقْرِ مُقْبِلًا فَقُلْ مَرْحَبًا بِشَعْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ. If you find that poverty is coming your way, then say welcome with the banner of the صالحين, right, of the righteous. And if you find wealth coming to you, مُقْبِلًا, the dunya coming to you, then say ذَنْبٌ عُجِلَتْ أُقُوبَتُهُ. Here is a sin and its punishment is forthcoming. And as I said earlier, it's not really about wealth and poverty, it's about مَا يَجْمَعُكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. For some people, ease and wealth will bring their hearts closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the faqr would be too much of a trial and tribulation for them, the poverty. And for others, trial and tribulation, this may be their only way that Allah will give them a path to Him. And if they had even a little bit more than of their means, then they would go all outside of all bounds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala هو الذي يدري ونحن لا ندري. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and we are not the ones that know or have any understanding of that. ومن شروط القناعة الاقتصار على قوة القلب من الله عز وجل والالتذاذ بإجالة الوهم في عظمته وجلاله وصرف الهمة عمن سواه والصوم عن كل ملذوذ إلا لذة الفرح والاشتياق للوصول إلى النظر لوجه الله الكريم إلا ما يضطر العبد إليه، ولا يسع الغناء عنه مما لا تستبد منه طبائع البشرية من مطعم وملبس ومشرب وما أشبهه، بعدما تمس الضرورة إليه كما تمس إلى أكل الميتة. So here he's talking about the spiritual qana'ah, the spiritual conviction and contentment. So he says, الاقتصار على قوة القلب من الله عز وجل. So to see the strength of your heart will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تقتصر على ذلك. Right? It's not going to come from anywhere else. So it's only going to be from Allah, to Allah, for Allah, and with Allah. So think of all the prepositions and then put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So you only want to do it for Allah. You only want to do it towards Allah. You only want to do it with Allah to help you. And you only want to be with Allah, right? Al-ma'iyyah, al-rabbaniyyah. وللالتذاذ بإجالة الوهم في عظمة جلاله. Right? And التذاذ, right, again, taking pleasure, بإجالة الوهم. So let your imagination go, or your tafakkur, your contemplation go, let it loose, release it, in what? في عظمته وجلاله. Think about the عظمه, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His magnificence. أَلَا فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَلَا تُدُلُّ عَنَّهُ الْوَاحِدِ. Verily, there's a sign in everything that indicates He is the One. So we should spend a good portion of our contemplation, our fikr, let's call it our mental, emotional, spiritual energy, just thinking about the عظمه and the jalal. That in of itself is a type of ibadah, right? It's a type of act of worship. So acts of worship are not just physical things that we do, get them over with, like prayer, and then go back to whatever we were doing. They're supposed to inform the rest of the time as you're going along. So not just something to get over with, but something to refuel you and renew you as you complete your day, you complete your month, your week, your life. وَصَرْفُ الْهِمَّةِ عَمَّنْ سِوَاهِ. Right? And your himmah, your aspiration, should be nothing other than for your true aspiration, nothing other than for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والصوم عن كل ملذوذ إلا لذة الفرح بالله يعني. And to fast from all pleasures except the pleasure that you have with. So I think it's a good place to stop, inshallah. So we'll stop here. We'll save the questions for the next session tomorrow. Close with the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ومستنى بسترك الجميل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا منك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. يا الله يا الله يا الله بجاء أسماء الله وصفات الله وأنبياء الله ورسل الله والصالحين من عباد الله مقضي حوائجنا ظاهرا وباطنا. ما أرنا الحق حق وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وارزقنا حسنا خاتمة نصرا وفتحا قريبا وبشر المؤمنين. وإنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. لك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد بعد الرضا ولك الحمد كالذي نقول ولك الحمد كالذي تقول ولك الحمد خير مما نقول ولك الحمد على كل حال. يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وقل لنا حيث قلنا. ما يقذ قلوبنا لك ونبهنا من غفلة عنك. ما يقذ قلوبنا لك ونبهنا من غفلة عنك. واجعل آخر كلامنا لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله عدد كمال الله كما يليق بكماله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.